Family Guy scales Mount Charleston in New Vegas will not be heard at this time, so that we may bring you a program that's reaching new heights.
I see what you did there, Doug.
Speaking of new heights, I'm Gordon Pepper. That was Jason Bach. Nico mm-hmm. Alexander is just to go. And we Hello. Always make a fun play on April 20th for that. And we're celebrating it 2 days early this time around because I am convinced certain people are on some sort of recreational substances this week. And I also see some people's money going, shall we say, up in smoke.
And by the way, I think that was a 420 reference. That was an Amazon Prime Fallout reference.
It was. Because Amazon Prime's Fallout, it's the new hotness.
Wait, were we being paid for that, Chico?
We are not being paid for that. That was a declaration of love.
Yes.
Well, I've got a declaration of percentages, and we're going to be spreading the love and money around. But before we get to that, we've got to do our intro. Chico, if you may, sir.
From somewhere in New Vegas, the World Strongest Podcast, WLTI, is on. Let's go!
Whee!
Welcome to episode 441 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5&1 Studios. My name is Jason Block, making sure that you're taking your allergy pills as all the plants are starting to bloom now.
You know what they say about allergies.
What's that?
It's when the flowers can't keep it in their plants.
Oh, good grief.
Chico is definitely on 420. And I will say this, what happens when you think someone is on 420 and causes a fallout? Well, we get an island.
Oh, yes, we're going to start there this week because, oh my God, Q's a nutball. Q is a freaking nutball. Yeah. Okay.
It all dates back to what happened last week at Tribal, where he was frustrated that his group wants to socialize instead of figuring out how to strategize.
Right. And so what happens is that Venus took credit for Soda's blindside, right? But Liz also claimed that she wanted Soda out from the beginning. Yeah. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then Tiffany goes to Tevin and says,
Venus isn't as dangerous as she's letting on.
Right. And then Tevin goes to Q, and Q wants to blindside Tiffany, but Tiffany has an idol, and a few people know that already. Okay. So now we have a Survivor Classic on the immunity on the island, right?
Right. Hang on the pole longer than your competition. And of course, because Jeff
is that guy.
Because Jeff is that guy, he offers enough rice to last them the rest of the game if four players opt out of the challenge.
Q and Liz were like, yeah, okay.
Or two people give up their vote.
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm. So Q and Liz were willing to sit out. No one else wanted to. And then Charlie was going, why don't we make it three? And
don't ever suggest to Jeff on a deal, because you know he's going to say,
He's not going to say, He's going to say,
And oh, really?
He's going to say, I'm good and you're not.
That's right. And he said, three. No, four. Three. No, four. Okay. And
so
nobody
gets rice.
And then no one gets rice. Okay. And Q was pissed because people were dropping that quickly. And he's like, if you were going to drop that quickly, sit your ass down for Rice. Okay.
He's specifically talking about himself, Liz, Kenzie, Ben, and Maria.
Mm-hmm. So people wanted to vote on Tiffany, but then Liz goes against Tevin, wants Tevin out. That goes back to Q, and then at Tribal Council. Now, this is very interesting. Now, Gordon, seriously, okay?
Okay.
When a player goes bat guano crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
They usually get eliminated, right?
Usually. Not necessarily.
But, I'm not saying this particular one. I'm saying usually it happens.
Usually, yes.
Okay.
Unless you're playing crazy like a fox, which I will explain later.
Okay. So then Q's like, I want out because I felt responsible for someone else's dream ending due to the shifting in plans. Then we had everyone going, do this, do that, do this, do that, do this, do that. And eventually, Tevin goes to the jury, flushing his extra vote. Okay, you're telling me Q was full of moo-poo?
Well, I think there's a number of things at play here, depending on who you're looking at. First of all, this is one of the best Survivor episodes of the year. It's clearly the best one of the season. It could be the best one, I don't want to say ever, because nothing's going to top a couple of other ones. But this was a fantastic episode.
Okay, tell me
why. For a number of reasons, because the question becomes, who do you think has the power? And what do we do with a problem like Q? Well, I'm going to disagree with you with no one.
Okay.
So, but the reason why Q is not hoisted on his petard is real simple, which is he is still very much needed in the game.
How is he needed in the game when he's pretty much playing on tilt at this point?
But he's on tilt, but he's a vote that you can rely on right now at this point. Because right now you have 11, and he's so crazy that he still has power to pull a minority alliance together and to spearhead his own thing.
Right.
Fair.
So you still need to worry about him and codify him. You have bigger threats that need to go away because of Q.
Right. Like Hunter is one of them.
By the way, Hunter is the one who won immunity this week.
Right, yeah, so that's his second, if I'm not mistaken.
So, I mean, you right now have the group of six, which is now back for the second straight episode, to the group of five. So the group of five still needs to be worried about that. They don't have the majority alliance yet. When you are at eight, now Q is expendable at that point. And that's when you got to not only get rid of him, but the Yana three.
So we still have a little bit of time.
And then you play it from there.
Yeah,
so you still need him to be part of your alliance and to swing him in your neck of the woods. And you still have people that you need to get rid of that are not in your group of six. Hunter, however, is in the group of six.
Okay.
So you can't get rid of it. So that's there. So there's part one of why is Q in the game? Part two is Q is looking like a really good goat right now to bring to the end. Now, I understand he thinks that, well, I don't want to do that. Well, no, that's still a great strategy to play in Survivor, is you bring the crazy person with you to the end.
Right, exactly. That makes total sense, actually. Makes total sense.
You bring the crazy, delusional person with you to the end, who you know that you can win $1 million from. In this
See
case,
Russell
it will
Hance,
definitely
by
be
the way.
Q. Yeah, exactly. In this case, it will be Q. So there's that. Especially when Q thinks that he is the person in charge and he's not. And part of this is also Q knowing that he could be in trouble and saying, well, you know what? You can't fire me. I quit. Except the majority is saying, oh, no, we still need you. You're not going anywhere yet. You'll leave when we tell you it's time for you to leave.
Right. I get what you're saying.
Okay.
I get exactly what you're saying. Use Q as long as you can, then kick his ass to the curb.
That's called gamesmanship.
It is called gamesmanship.
Luke? Yeah, you wouldn't play that in old school Survivor, but you'll play it in this new age of Survivor.
Right.
And to be quite honest, this is a strategy that I'm surprised is not used more often.
Okay. Well, we'll see if it holds next week when Tiffany confronts Q about exposing her idol, and he vows to give him hell.
Which is a big mistake on Tiffany's part, to be quite honest. See, because, again, you want the crazy person on your side. You don't want the crazy person being crazy all over the place. And, again, you still need him for a couple more rounds until your alliance is strong enough. Is it? We'll see. But we don't know that quite yet. Meanwhile, let's go to another island where we have a lot of fallout. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be Deal or No Deal Island.
Yeah, we have a lot of fallout. And the fallout is Aaron having a panic attack, last thing we saw last week, over losing Alyssa during Deal or No Deal. He is actually sticking around. Nick is revealing to that Aaron is going to stay.
So when Aaron did not leave?
No, he did not leave.
I'm shocked.
I know. I am shocked. This is my... Oh, hold on. Shocked face.
Right, okay.
Okay. So Boston Rob basically tells Aaron that the best way to honor Alyssa is to play the best game possible.
Why, he was upset that Alyssa got out?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that brings us to this week's Swamp of Secrets excursion. There are 10 pedestals with 10 case values attached. At the bottom of each are ropes leading into the swamp. Each rope is connected to an unmarked case. You have 45 minutes to pull and lock in a case. The highest value available is $4.5 million. And to make things interesting, the players who grab the four highest value cases will be safe, leaving the other three in danger of playing Deal or No Deal against the banker that night. In addition, each player must sabotage another by adding sand to a timer that will restrict their movement in the game until it's run out.
And this was...
Wait. Let's add some to that. By the way, the three people that are also in danger are also the only three people that can be eliminated from the game, which, by the way, should have been something, at the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway, okay. You may continue.
Now, I'm looking at this, and if the people were smart, they would have put their entire sand on one guy. But did they do that?
No.
Amy
and Dawson were the only two people to place their sand on one guy, and that guy happens to be Aaron. First of all, why do you even do that? Why?
Well, but it doesn't really matter at this point, because, again, here's the question. Do you want to play Deal or No Deal? Or do you not want to play Deal or No Deal? Boston Rob had the correct strategy, which is you want to play Deal or No Deal because you want the power in your own hand. You have a better than 50% chance of sticking around if you're playing against the banker. So it's not really a punishment. Are you in danger? Sure. But really, there's a better way. And when the season's over, I'll explain the better way and how you should have been playing this.
Okay.
Oh.
So, here's the rundown. Amy puts her sand on Aaron and bags $3 million. Nick puts his sand on Rob and bags $4.5 million. So, he's going to be the winner. Jordan puts his sand on Nick, bags $4 million. Stephanie puts her bag on Jordan, bags $3.25 million. Rob sands Amy, $3.75 million. Dawson puts his sand on Aaron, $2.75 million. Aaron puts his sand on Dawson, but because he has two players worth of sand on him, he runs out of time. So
okay.
He's already in danger. But so are Amy and Dawson because they have the low amounts. Meaning your winner is Nick. So he gets to choose who gets to play Deal or No Deal, either Amy, Dawson, or Aaron.
He picks Dawson. Again, dumb.
All right.
Because because he should have picked Aaron to break up the Rob Aaron thing.
No, actually, you're wrong. That's actually the correct move.
Yeah, that is the correct move.
Because, again, you have a better than 50% chance of surviving Deal or No Deal.
Okay.
All right.
So, you want to be able to control, you want to be able to control the narrative. If Aaron wins, that means someone from the Horned Owls group is out. If Dawson wins, that means Aaron's gone. So, again, you want to control the narrative.
All right, so let's talk about the actual game. We have all of the bags, all of the cases collected during the excursion. Then we have the penny to 750. Round one, we get rid of 500, 750, 3¾ million, $1, 1 penny, and $100. So it's a really good board. The offer is $1.166 million.
But again, it doesn't matter if it's a really good board. It doesn't. It never matters at this point if it's a really good board. Here's what matters. How many cases are higher than the offer, and how many cases are lower than the offer?
I have the answer to that question. Higher, 5. Lower, 1.
Clearly, no deal.
Yep. And now you have 3 to open. 4.5 million, 3 million, and 4 million. So we have 300, 2¾ million, and 3¼ million. The offer, $1.399 million. And if you withdraw yourself from the game, if you decide to leave the game, the banker will give you $100,000.
Whee!
Woo!
Which he takes.
Yep. So, deal for that money, which puts the final case at $4.491 million. Dawson takes the $100,000. He eliminates himself, and in his case, $2¾ million. So we're down to 6, and time is running short.
And now the Owls no longer have the majority of lines. It's now 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got 3 Owls and 3 non-Owls.
Yep. So it's Night Owls versus everybody else. It's going to be an interesting week next week.
So, I need some Alicia Keys, please. Now, everyone is talking about our good friend Allison Betts, who, as of today, is a Tournament of Champions qualifier and 5-day champion. But this is not her first rodeo, Chico.
No, this is not. She was on a game show on Netflix called The Game Show. Mm-mm.
Moo Poo the game show, not Poo Poo the game show. We can't say the name on TV.
We really can't.
We can't. However, Allison, she's good. She's really good.
Amazing. I mean, we come from the tournaments era, and already we have one of the better players from this season, as is proven by her 5th game today against Vidya Ravella from Skokie, Illinois, and Jeff Plate from around your area, G, Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Sort of, kind of, yes.
So tell us what happened.
Yeah, so at the end of the Jeopardy round, Allison had 3,600, Vidya had 22, and Jeff had 22. Allison takes over the second round and locks the game with 12,800 to Jeff's 5,400 with this final Jeopardy category, organizations. The clue. ask me a hard one. The press called the donations received after this organization's 1938 founding, quote, a silver tide which actually swamped the White House.
Ooh, 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 me, pick me,
okay, it's the sexy Panamanian in the corner. Go ahead.
What is the March of Dimes? Because Depression-era charity and marching all the way to the White House makes sense.
And Allison said Allison was the only one who got it right, and he said yes.
Ooh, me. Ooh, me.
Oh yeah, yes, the very good looking Jersey boy. What do you got?
What is the Lone Ranger Horse Meat Foundation?
It is a silver. What was it? A silver
tie.
Yes.
I hope
it's
silver.
A silver tide.
Well, actually, in real life, and again. Actually, the White House received millions of dimes in a month for infantile paralysis, and I believe the March of Dimes is still around to this day. It is. They just celebrated their 85th anniversary, if it was in 1938. Okay,
yep.
And they have changed their philosophy, their focus to prevent birth defects and premature birth. And if you seriously want to donate there, go to marchofdimes.org. It's a very good charity.
Charity indeed. But Allison has approximately 138,000 dimes from that game, giving her a five-day total of $121,500. And, of course, the golden ticket to the next Tournament of Champions.
But we actually need to talk about something and a little bit of rumors that were talked about at the Inside Jeopardy podcast in New York. Now, there are ideas being floated by Michael Davies. Now, the more interesting one is they want to give eligibility to the old players of the kids tournament, the teen tournament, and the high school tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
The kids' weeks, teen tournaments, and college championships.
Mm-hmm. They want to get a second of eligibility. But the big one that has interested me, and it will interest you, Chico, actually. Well, sort of.
Only in about 4 years.
If what Michael Davies wants to do is he wants to institute a 10-year rule. Like The Price is Right has, and I believe Let's Make a Deal, correct, Gordon?
According to our friend Tommy Zalewski, it's actually a 3-year rule for Let's Make a Deal.
Okay. Anyway, so even so, they want to put a 10-year rule and have players, including Tournament of Champions winners and others, get a second chance at it. Gordon, you're the executive producer. A little head on stick here. You're the executive producer of Jeopardy. Do you do this, and how do you do it? I'm talking about the 10-year rule.
If I was to do it, it would only be on people that lost their first time out.
Ooh, ooh, me.
So yes, you're saying any winners, even one game, you don't get a second chance?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
You don't get to go back and repeat history. And here's why. Who's to state that we don't get another David Madden, Ken Jennings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, ad nauseum? And before you say it can't happen, we're saying that, but you never know. The difference between that and A Price is Right or Let's Make a Deal, Price is Right is a one shot. You're not affecting anybody else. Let's make a deal. You're definitely not affecting anybody else.
Right.
I think it's a horrible idea. I don't think that the contestant pool is that small so that Jeopardy needs to be that desperate. I think it's bad. It's a bad look. If you're going to do it, you only do it, and I can understand this why, you would only do it to those people that lost. And, you know, one of the things that was talked about, and I get it with a second chance, but what would have been really fun is the tournament of people that lost to Ken Jennings or the tournament of people that lost to whoever. That would be fun. And it's just sort of like, all right, you're not up against a buzzsaw. Let's see what you can do. That would be the only time that I would be okay with this. I'm definitely not okay with it going to people who already won Jeopardy. You've been there already.
I understand. But are you okay with the teen high school? I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that I'm definitely okay with. I'm okay with the teens and the high school stuff because, again, it's two different things. You have a tournament versus chance to really go out and make money. I'm completely fine with that one.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
And that actually makes sense if you think about it because you look at something like the tournament play. Tournament play Jeopardy and regular play Jeopardy are two different animals if you think about it.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm just saying it was floated about, and we'll see where that goes. That's just something that has been floated about. Speaking of floating, we are floating over to, if I'm looking at my map here, Chile, I believe. Yes.
Yes, we are floating over to Chile for the next leg of the Amazing Race. And here's where we actually fly into. We fly into Santiago, and of course, everybody leaves 15 minutes, according to where they placed on the last leg.
They left Plaza de Armas in Santiago and then had to find, and again, as a car guy, this was fun, Marilyn Monroe's 1956 Ford Thunderbird, which was at the Argometo Performance Garage. Then they had to drive to Skate Park, Parque Araucano, to find their next clue. In the roadblock, one team member had to build a skateboard so it matched an exact one in order to receive their next clue. Talk about the detour.
In the detour, the choice is perform for pesos or climb for clues. In perform for pesos, one team member has to perform as a chinchinero, a one-man band street performer, while their partner played maracas and collected 2,500
Chilean pesos.
Peso,
yeah, which is about
$2.60. And once you have that much, you get your next clue. In climb for clues, both team members had to climb a 6-story former cement factory, retrieve a ribbon, and exchange them for the next clue. And after that detour, you have to drive yourself to the pit stop, Estación Mapocho, and of course, the team that gets there last is eliminated. But the team that gets there first wins this leg, but they also win cashback rewards for a trip for two to Singapore. And that would
And
be,
again, here we go again.
I'm
Domination
shocked.
City. Domination.
Sucked.
Ricky and Cesar were first.
Yep.
For the third leg in a row.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Kishori and Karishma, who were ninth going in, are ninth coming out.
Which means they have been eliminated. Next week, we actually go to Cordoba, Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And we will find out what happens there because there's rumors of a mega leg. This But it's time to go to the workroom because reunited and it feels so
awkward.
Very awkward. because we have the, and I love the queen of she done already done had hers.
She already done had hers.
Right, which is basically the loser's bracket.
And with that prize comes a check in the amount of $50,000.
Do we really have to go through this, honestly? Really?
It was more entertaining to watch than to talk about, but I'll just say...
Let's do the 30-second version of this,
you.
Please.
All right, so Don is up first. Don is up against a mandatory meeting, the song Damaged by Danny D. Kane. A mandatory meeting wins. Q chooses Megami, the song What About by Janet Jackson. Megami wins.
Gave you close, right?
Morphine Love Dion chooses Geneva Carr, the song Million Dollar Baby by Ava Max. Morphine Love Dion wins. Mirage chooses Hershey Liqueur Jeté, The song Alone 2.0 by Kim Petras and Nicki Minaj, Mirage wins. Mia, Amon LePage, Plasma, and Janami Muse lip sync to Milkshake by Khalees. Mia, Amon LePage wins. Mandatory Meeting chooses Megami, the song, the Shoop Shoop song by Cher. Megami wins. Morphine Love, Dion, and Mirage perform This Time I Know It's For Real by Donna Summer. Morphine Love, Dion wins. And the final round. RuPaul reveals a twist. One of the remaining queens will be selected at random, and that queen must choose their opponent. The queen who is not chosen will advance directly to the final round. Megami is selected. She chooses lip sync against Mia and Amon LePage. They lip sync to We Got the Beat. Megami wins and advances to the final round against Morphine Love Dion, who perform Gonna Make You Sweat, Everybody Dance Now by CNC Music Factory, featuring the great
One of the greatest dance songs of the 90s. Sorry.
Yeah, Fight Me. And the winner is the queen of Sheena already done had hers is Morphine Love Dion. That's a question. Because we still have three queens remaining. That would be Nymphia Wynn, Plain Jane, and Sapphire Cristal. We have them as your top three, but who wins it?
Well, it's very interesting to me, okay? Well, first of all, number one, I have another question after this. But it just seems to me that, well, Entertainment Weekly has Sophia Cristal. I don't. I just have Plain Jane winning because I think she's been most consistent the entire show.
Okay, my rule of thumb when picking a finalist, do not pick who Jason Block picks.
Great.
So therefore, I will go with Sophia Cristel.
I'm going to agree with Gordon on this. And I'm also going to agree with Entertainment Weekly, which means I am agreeing with somebody who is paid to follow this sort of thing. So
now, I just have one question about Morphine's win, okay?
Uh-huh.
This may sound like a dumb question, but I've do you think because she had the most lip syncs in the season with Mia Amon LePage that she had a quote unquote unfair advantage or no?
Not really. I mean, you're only good.
No.
You're only as good as your last lip sync, right?
Okay. All right. All good.
I mean, you look at it this way: Raja, who never had to win her lip sync when she had already done hers at the end.
That's true. So,
remember that, by the way.
And by the way, speaking of that, let's move from the workroom in Los Angeles to Madison, Wisconsin, in Top Chef, as they toured buildings designed by architect Frank Lloyd Wright, who I did not realize that he worked in there. I learned something in this episode. Working in pairs in the Elimination Tower, they had to take inspiration from Wright's style and create dishes with the theme of duality. They were served at the Riverview Terrace restaurant in Spring Green. They won. The winning pair received $10,000, although one person received immunity, but both members of the losing team were eliminated, and the guest judges were, oh, nobody important. Dominic Crenn and Brutal Low.
Who they be?
What?
Who they be?
Right. So Rossica and Danica and Danny won their dishes, and Alicia and Kalina were sent to Last Chance Kitchen. And
at Last Chance Kitchen, we have Alicia and Kalina taking on Sue. And they were presented with an assortment of plates, bowls, cups, and other vessels, and had 30 minutes to create composed dishes inspired by their chosen plating option. Two contestants would advance at the end of this challenge. Sue went with a lamb loin carpaccio with aged balsamic, mint, basil, and fennel, and glazed halibut with strawberry bisque. Alicia went with agua chile with cucumber, jicama, avocado, poached shrimp, and cilantro. And Kalina went with beef tartare with mirin, ponzu, fish sauce, and soy, beef tataki with kimchi, pear and fennel, charred ribeye with miso, and cauliflower puree. Alicia's agua chile was eliminated. So Sue and Kalina will return for the next round in Last Chance Kitchen.
Okay, and we will find out what that is next week. Let's see. We did that. Yes. We need to talk about Wheel of Fortune this week.
National Parks Week this week, and we already have a $100,000 loss. I don't have the clip ready, but I do have the write up courtesy of our friends at viavowel.boards.net, where we see Brooke Smith from Atlanta, Georgia pick up the wild card, while Adam Williams from McKinney, Texas picks up the $1 million wedge. Ultimately, though, it's Brooke's game to win. She has $28,290 in cash and a trip to Barbados.
Right. I got this puzzle easily, actually. She gets the wild card. She goes, what are you doing? She picks CDHAG, and it's blank blank ST blank G A blank blank D I D E O. I knew this, and it was posting a video, and I don't know what number time this is this season, but yipe.
Yeah, this is not the first time, probably won't be the last time, but it's definitely one of the times where somebody did not win $100,000.
Right, but can you go nuts for 24 hours and cook to your heart's content?
Why would I want to do something like that?
$50,000?
Okay.
that is the premise of 24 in 24. Chico, tell us about it.
All right, so 24 in 24 brings together 24 chefs. Some you're seeing for the first time. Some you're seeing for another time from another show. And some you're seeing from Food Network's Rolodex, so to speak. Now, you're 24 in 24... 24 cooking challenges in 24 hours. The last chef standing wins $50,000. Now, the challenges are grouped in the following sort of groupings. Speed, adaptability, resourcefulness, teamwork, and artistry. Each category has 3 challenges each, which doesn't really add up if you think about it, because 5 categories, 3 challenges, that's only 15. What are the other 9 challenges? I don't know. But not every challenge will eliminate every chef. Like the fourth challenge in the episode that aired over the last weekend is a head-to-head battle between losing chefs from challenge 3, with only those chefs being eliminated.
Yeah, so basically there's 24 challenges, but not all the chefs will be competing in all 24 challenges.
Correct. And it's hosted by Michael Simon, Iron Chef, and Esther Choi, not as Iron, but still pretty good chef.
Okay.
And let's talk about the good, shall we? The challenges are very varied, and they cover the entire gamut of cookery. And there's a good mix of chefs that you've seen before and chefs that you're seeing for the first time. That's the good. The bad? Remember what I said about Wildcard Kitchen? Like, Food Network is pretty much recycling all of the facilities that they have on hand?
Right.
You could say the same thing about 24 and 24, because it looks like they're shooting this on the set of Tournament of Champions or Alex versus America or something, because
that. Okay, but that doesn't mean anything. Okay, That don't mean anything. The problem here is that I don't like the fact that all the chefs don't do all the challenges. If you're going to say 24 and 24, all 24 chefs should do all 24 challenges, and let's see where they should earn the $50,000, because that's false advertising.
It is. And the thing of it is, most of these challenges, the elimination challenges, they are not blind judges. They are basically open judges with one person deciding who gets eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like MasterChef gone wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and that sort of way, and I do like MasterChef. This is just sort of like, hey, let's make a competition. You got any ideas? Nope. Okay, let's do this. It's a mega thing with cooks, and some of them will cook, and they won't, but we have 24, and we'll call it 24 and 24 because it's catchy, and then we'll make a competition based on that name. You know, when I heard the premise, I was like, there's no way it's going to work the way that they wanted to. And I was right. There is no way it's going to work the way they wanted
to. No, it's not. It's a bait and switch. It's like you're promised a ribeye.
I believe the word you're looking for, Jay, I believe the word you're looking for is contrived.
Yes.
Because that was the word that I was looking for.
There it is. Contrived. Yes. That works. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does not feel organic. It feels fake, like Wildcard. This is un C for me.
It is a C for me, too. But the thing of it is, I like Wildcard a whole lot more than 24 and 24. I think Wildcard Kitchen has a premise, and it actually delivers on the premise. 24 and 24 is basically, okay, we have a clock, we have a kitchen, what do we do with it?
Now, I'm going to give this the same grade that I gave for Wildcard Kitchen. I think you're both being way too nice. D for me is a grade. There is a game in there somewhere, but not in the form that they have it. It's very helter-skelter and very contrived. It almost feels like we're going to make this up as we go along. I mean, obviously, you can't do that, but it does feel like it in that sort of way, where when you laid it out, I don't know, maybe the consistency was very flat, like good Iguadamas.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
So,
but I wanted to like this. I wanted to be compelled by it. I mean, it's a cooking competition. I can't hate cooking competitions, but this really needed to be filtered out.
This needed to be thought through a little bit longer. Just
a little bit longer in the pitch room, shall we say.
Yeah. So there's that, and hopefully it'll get better as the season goes on, but I'm not holding out any hope.
So, what do we have on tap for Act 3?
Act 3, we are going to pay homage to our favorite late, great game show host to come out of Duke University. Sit down, Ken Jeong. But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with 501. You're home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different competitions that would feature 24 and 24. That would be a little bit more compelling than chefs.
Ooh.
For example, iron welders.
Woodworkers.
That would be pretty cool. Or house builders. You got 24 hours. Make a house.
Oh, right. Or 24 hours. Build a car.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
24 hours. Fix my car.
Not fix. Build.
I know what I said.
I know what you said. We'll be back right after this on 5 and 1. Let's go to the break.
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
You know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
Yeah, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, anything, you need to tell an adult, someone you know and trust. That can be hard, but speaking up about a problem is what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
WLTI has been brought to you by Bet on Your Jader. That's right. It's the NBA time. You can bet on your Jader. You're not going to bet on him to win because he certainly doesn't, but you can bet on a variety of stats for him to lose on. For example, what time does he pull out with an injury? What time during the game does he pull out with cramps? What time of the game does he get dysteria? That is Bet on Your Jader. Coming to an NBA franchise, never.
Well, the NFL reinstated five people who were out for life for gambling, so he'll be back next year, maybe.
Well, maybe they can bet on their cheater.
Maybe they can, but what we need to do is bet on you, Gordon, because we like you.
Aw. Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and at Tracks Productions. And, of course, you can listen to Doug Morris every Sunday as he broadcasts Rock Tracks on WXRR Hattiesburg Rock 104. That's 104.5 on your FM dial. Or, of course, all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the WXRR Rock 104 app.
Now, I have two bats for you. One is the Kansas City logo. Has the Kansas City Chiefs logo on it. And by the way, attached to the bat is Jason Kelce's lost Super Bowl ring. Anyway. Anyway, the second one.
Moment gone. Next.
No. And the second one has two logos on it. Paramount and Sony. And I have both. You have the Kelce story. So Concords, let's go.
It is official. What we've been talking about for the last few weeks has finally borne fruit. Travis Kelce is the new host of Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity?
Yep. They taped it this past week, right?
Yep. They taped all 20 episodes. They taped them this week, and they will launch on Prime Video soon. But
That was the amuse-bouche, okay? Yeah. This is the big stack of meat. Gordon, remember we were talking about the Paramount merger? The Paramount buyout, right? And they were...
We had a whole veritable list of people that we thought, well, maybe they'll buy. This one, not a surprise at all.
You don't think so?
Shocked me, bro.
It makes a lot of sense.
All right, well, you'll explain in a minute. According to Deadline, as of about 3 hours ago on the West Coast, the next rumored target, Sony Pictures Corporation and their CEO, Tony Vinciquiera, has been in talks with Apollo Global Management. Remember, we talked about them a couple of weeks ago, about making a go for Paramount. While Skydance Redbird Capital is also talking to National Amusement. So we've got a bunch of bachelors wanting to give Paramount the final rose, so to speak.
And one thing that they all have in common, they're, a lot of them are interactive, or they base a lot of their money on interactive media. And okay. Interactive. Paramount is full of that. And full of various IPs. So it would make sense for Sony, who, by the way, has, oh, this thing called Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, by the way. It would make sense for them to go after it.
Yep. And hey, if this whole thing goes through, might open the door to maybe get episodes of The Price is Right on Game Show Network again?
No. Please, that's not even where we're going here. What we're going for here, Gordon, and we've talked about this before, is consolidation after COVID. That's what we're doing here, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Does that make sense? Let's put it this way. If you're going to do Price is Right, it is where it should be right now, which is on Pluto. You wouldn't, and if you're Game Show Network, you're really marketing. What you really want to do is create your own new IPs and then make them global. You really don't want to do something with Wheel of Fortune. I'm sorry, not Wheel of Fortune. You really don't want to do something with Price is Right, by the way, which is not owned by Sony. It's owned by Fremantle. So you don't want to go anywhere near Price is Right for a number of reasons at this point.
Okay.
And so, no, Jay is absolutely right in terms of that.
I mean, and it's also very interesting, Gordon, because you noticed there was a big push this week there was a big conference called CinemaCon, where mm-hmm. Disney, Warner Brothers, Paramount, and others announced a lot of their slate for the rest of the year. Okay. I mean, they showed, you know, The Rock post WrestleMania was there promoting Moana 2, and they really want to get people to get back into the movies. Okay. However, again, when a movie is $20 to $30 a ticket, you really got to make that money back somehow.
Well, you know, one of the ways that malls have been combating Mall and We for years is creating experiences that you can only have in malls, for argument's sake, escape rooms or amusement parks, or in this case, building living arrangements like a hotel or a motel. All these things, by the way, great ideas, and it's helped some of the malls doing that. I almost sort of feel you need the exact same thing in order to get people back into the movies. It can't just be a movie. It's got to be an interactive experience. We'll come back to that later.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we will. You also have a date book for me, which I will read. Friday is the season finale of RuPaul's Drag Race. Monday is the spring premiere of Family Feud. By the way, speaking of which, Celebrity Family Feud has also taped their summer programming. And I believe they're still in Atlanta, correct?
No. Celebrity Family Feud tapes on the Sony lot.
No, but I'm talking about the regular Family Feud.
Regular Family Feud, they've already started shooting next season at the Tyler Perry lot.
Okay, there you go. Tuesday is the season finale of Blank Slate, or series, who knows, and the premiere of LOL Last One Laughing Germany on Prime. Now, you have a very interesting article about interactivity in game shows. Let's talk about Dadapto.
All right, so TV News Check has their Programming Everywhere event at the NAB show in Las Vegas.
And that's the National Association of Broadcasters.
Correct. For those who don't know, one of the things that they will be talking about is game shows as TV's first stop on the road to interactivity. And one of the big draws for this panel was Fremantle's new app. It's called Beat the Buzzer, spelled like the network.
Okay.
Oh, the application uses a QR code to allow viewers watching Fremantle's Buzzer Fast channel to interact with its classic game shows such as Match Game, Tell the Truth, Password, and many more. To use it, players scan a QR code to play along on their mobile devices. The application was designed to retain and engage audiences, grow new audiences, and optimize monetization. According to Laura Florence, the Fremantle Senior Vice President of Global Fast Channels, some 75% of people are watching along while doing something else on their phone. Now we can get them a lean-in experience. The app gives Fremantle's classic game shows a modern update and also travels with them around the world because anyone with a smartphone can access the app.
You and see this... me shaking my head, right?
I do. Please elaborate, Jay.
Because this is the dumbest thing you could do. Okay, and I'll explain to you why. Because here, Gordon, remember what we could have had a few years ago if trivia apps didn't just blow themselves up? This is what you could have if you put this on Lifetime at Home. This is what I would do, Gordon. Try this on for size. Every day on that Fremantle app, you do Price is Right, right? Lifetime, play along. You gain points for rewards or something simple like that. That would get people noticed. Not this. Oh, and by the way, game shows have been interactive since the 1970s. Everything old is new again.
A couple of things. Number one, if you remember, once upon a time, they actually did try to do this with Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
Years ago, they tried to do this. That's number one. Number two, and it's too bad that the whole trivia craze died because this is when I try to get some sort of interactive trivia HQ-like substance on.
Yeah.
And instead of playing for money, play for points and use the points to convert into things. You know, you had that. Maybe it came a couple of years too early or maybe a couple of years too late. That would have been a smart idea.
You know, I'll tell you how smart that idea was. You know who first grew that idea of making shows interactive and then trading your points in for, like, stuff? Game Show Network.
Yeah, they did.
It was a smart idea then. It's a smart idea now. It will continue to be a smart idea.
However, ain't so smart.
That's dumb.
Okay. And I can do this because she appeared on Dancing with the Stars. Are you smarter than JoJo Siwa?
Oh, okay.
He also appeared on RuPaul's Drag Race a number of times.
Many times.
And so you think he could dance? Hello?
Including the judge on My Coconut.
That's right. Yes. Okay. So, Miss Siwa introduced her new... hear me out on this. I'll explain this. Her new song last week called Karma, which was her venture into the adult music market after being part of the Kids Bop era and the Rainbow era for many, 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 many years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, she introduced this as the new gay pop and new music. Right? Wrong. See, this music goes as far back as 2011. Okay? And she told and they both recorded demo versions of it, and people were so upset about this. The producers, oh, by the way, the producers of the track,
Rock Mafia.
Yeah, who wrote Miley Cyrus's Can't Be Tamed and Ali and AJ's potential breakup song. Great song, by the way. And she said, quote, noting that it was an old song, she added, I was pitched it. I loved it. I was obsessed with it. I grasped onto it. That's a very normal thing. Okay. She also said, and I quote, I did not steal anything. There's no such thing as stealing. Really?
Robin Thicke on line one.
Okay. And the fact is, and you know how bad it got for her, G? The version that she stole it from, which was Britt Smith, actually is charting higher than her version of it. Because they feel she's Britt Smith, who is now retired, they feel that her version got slighted and JoJo Siwa was a thief.
Oops.
Oops, indeed. Oh, and by the way, I've heard it. Both versions are good. We need some haterade. I was drinking of it. I didn't mean to share. Go ahead.
Yeah, stop hogging all the haterade, bro.
Sorry, man. And honestly, this one shocked me a little bit, but I understand. I understand. The Golden Bachelor couple are getting a divorce 3 months after they got married on TV.
Aww.
And the reason for this was not like, you know, I think the bride did not want to move because of her job or something to that effect.
Something like that. It's like, Teresa and I have had, and this is Gary Turner talking, Teresa and I have had a number of heart-to-heart conversations. We looked closely at our situation, our living situation, so forth, and we've come to the conclusion mutually that it's probably time for us to dissolve our marriage. And Teresa says, we've received so much love and support from so many people who watched The Golden Bachelor. I don't think we can tell you how many people told us that it gave them so much hope. We want none of that to change for anybody. The couple, to say the very least, were vague about what went wrong.
And it's not what went wrong. It's what went right. Hey, thank you so much. Here's a paycheck for the wedding. Whee!
Look at the boy. Oh, you cynical beep!
Okay, and now we can quietly divorce. But first, let's collect the paycheck. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Is the check clear?
Yeah, the check. Oh, man. You,
Where's the check clear? You're a game show contestant. You know this by now.
Yeah, I do. If the check clears, it's all good. Yep.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we had a couple of people. talk about this. Tyler Cameron, who miraculously still has work, says, 3 months? They make all of my relationships seem very long. Like, golly, I'm a dating expert compared to them.
Oh, please, shut up. Yeah, please. Anyway, let's actually send the Bachelor couple and JoJo Siwa somewhere. Where are we going?
If JoJo Siwa rips off Lisa Stansfield, we're going to fight. Okay, so...
Yeah, I heard JoJo Siwa's version of that song.
Oh, just kidding.
Nice.
Okay, forget JoJo Siwa. Gordon and I are about to fight.
Nah, never mind. Keep going.
Oh, dude.
Okay, so. All right, so. What if I were to tell you that they're planning to bring Hole in the Wall back to the UK?
Oh, nice. Interesting. It was fun for what it was. Go ahead.
Yeah, the production company that owns the rights to the show, that would be Fremantle, have been floating the idea of bringing it back with broadcasters, a source told The Sun. Another source from within the industry shared that the production company holding the rights to the show has been discussing a revival. While the BBC was the original home of Hole in the Wall, there's speculation that the reboot could appear on other networks like ITV or even streaming platforms, potentially sparking a bidding war.
Content is king. Let's just remember this.
Yep.
It is.
Good content was king. We just said content was king.
Content indeed is king.
Content definitely indeed is king. And you know what's also kings and queens? Media pros.
Week's Media Pro Report, Cheryl Burke blames her podcast for being left out of Len Goodman's tribute on Dancing with the Stars. Unfortunately, we say goodbye to Warwick Davis's wife, who died at the very young age of 53, I believe it was.
Yep.
Big B, Amitabh Bachchan, is returning for season 16 of Kaun Banega Crorepati, which is, of course, the Indian version of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Hailey Erbert draws raves on her return to the stage alongside Derek Huff.
That's awesome. That's terrific. Glad she's healthy.
Yep. Mayim Bialik claims quiet on set is not just limited to Agent Orange. Wink, wink. Congratulations to the writing team of The Chase for their WGA award win. And let's get it all right here. Head writer David Levinson-Wolk and the team of Eric Agard, Kyle Beakley, Mickey Bowden, Megan Broussard, Jonathan Daly, Brian Green, Robert King, Jason Lindell, Sierra Manny, Amy Ozoles, Bobby Patton, Ellen Tatel, and Ari Yolkutz.
Awesome. Woo-hoo. Terrific. Very happy for that.
Nicole Scherzinger wins her first Olivier for Sunset Boulevard. Gordon Ramsay's London Pub has been taken over by squatters. Drew Carey explains why he covered meals for striking writers. Everybody,
he said it was the right thing to do, and he's awesome that way.
Yep.
He's
everybody terrific. In this room is making some actor a million, proving that he gets it. The Ultimate Fighter turns the UFC into a juggernaut. Jamie Foxx is back on set for Beat Shazam. And Merv Griffin's estate is up for grabs, and all it'll cost you is $36 million. But none of them are your pros of the week.
Okay.
And it comes with a bit of sadness, really. We're talking about the hosts of The Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is ending at the end of this year. And replacing it will be The Gates, which is that new soap opera co-developed with the NAACP. Then all of that became official this week.
Hmm. Gordon, I'm not surprised about The Talk, but I we knew The Gates was coming. Do you think there will ever be another daytime game show in syndication?
Cool. I mean, you have daytime syndication game shows that are going to be showing up all the time, yes.
Okay.
And I mean, flip side on line one.
There you go. All right. That's cool.
So, but before I say my phrase, I'm going to say another phrase. In honor of The Talk, cue zombies.
Rains!
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would please.
Button right there. And it is time to get our numerology on as we play the percentages. Right after this, at 5 and 1, this is We Love to Interrupt. We will be right back. Brain Vision was sponsored by the Tortured Players Department. No, not that album that's coming out on Friday. It's the Tortured Players Department. Whether you were on Fear Factor, whether you were on The Chair, whether you were on Total Blackout, there were times when players and sometimes viewers were tortured. It's the Tortured Players Department. We can't afford Taylor Swift as host.
Oh.
Co-sponsored by the ASPCA because hitching cockroaches have lives too.
Yes, they do.
It'd be true.
It's time for one of our fun quickie game shows, games for Act 3 here tonight. It's called Play the Percentages. We give a situation, we think what the percentage of it may or may not happen. Chico, for example.
we've talked about how The Golden Bachelor did not last an entire season, as in an entire winter.
Right.
So let's look into the future with Jen Tran as the new Bachelorette. What are the chances that she finds happily ever after that lasts more than a year?
5%. 5%, if that.
Okay, you know what? I'll be generous. 6 months.
No, I see. You no. I'll even. Yeah, 5%. Yeah, 5%.
6.9.
Nice. 6.99. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
Do you have one?
Yeah, I do actually. And we always ask it, but I will ask it again. Okay. I'm going to throw a little, this is sort of like a place bets now one. Okay. Try this. We all know that we're probably not going to get a $1 million winner in Pat Sajak's final season, right? Pretty much. We haven't heard anything. Don't think so. Okay. What is the percentage that we're going to get a $1 million winner on Ryan Seacrest's first? Which is, I'm not asking a funny question.
No, I'm actually going to say 20% on this.
I'm going to say 10%, and I'm being very generous.
I'll split the difference, 15.
Okay.
But I think... And by the way, the rumors are, because of the network code, they're already taping new episodes.
Well, that would make the most sense because, again, network code runs out at the end of July.
June or July?
July. It runs out before they can finish all of the episodes. So, yeah, that makes the most sense. It's also why Family Feud is stockpiling episodes for next season.
Good call. Gordon, next one.
Yeah, next one. Let's go back to Survivor and talk about the enigma that is Q. Because you still know you need him. The percentage that he makes it to the final five, because that's probably where that finale is going to go. So assuming that there's five people that make it to the finale, the percentage that Q's one of them.
You know what? I'm going to say it's relatively high. I'm going to go 75% because you need someone who is disliked to stand next to you in the final tribal council. And Q definitely fits that bill.
Okay. What I was about to say. Repeat the question, please. Q making the final five?
The percentage that Q makes it to the last episode.
The final five? Yeah, 70%.
Yeah, I'll split up the middle. I'm going to go 60%. I think that if they're not tired of him, he's got a chance to go all the way. Now, if you ask me if he's going to win it, no. But he's got a chance to be that GOAT because right now, from a gameplay standpoint, he reminds me of a cross between Philip from Philip the feather-wearing human being on Survivor and Nina Menino Brown of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
All right.
So flamboyant, will get to the end, will not win.
We talked earlier in the show about Jeopardy potentially returning contestants for a second chance if you were on the show past 10 years, which is season 30 and beyond, okay?
Right.
What is the percentage of that actually going through?
Me, 100%.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they're going to do it. I absolutely think they're going to try it. Do I think it's a good idea? No. The only people that I would allow play would be from either a Tournament of Champions team or college or someone that never got a win the first time around.
Okay.
It opens the door for Jeopardy contestant abuse if you allow anybody else in.
That is right. And for that reason, I can't believe I'm about to waffle, but 50-50 is the best I can give it. I mean, it is. Can they do it? Yes. Is it possible for it to be done in such a way that it encourages equity and fairness? Yes. Is it a good idea? No.
I'm going to say 75%, okay? And if they offer it, I'm going for it. I don't care. Okay? I want a second chance at this, and I want a shot at the Tournament of Champions, okay? I do.
That fourth game. That's what you
want. I want that fifth game. I want that fifth game, okay? I got four the last time. I know I think I can rattle off five. But anyway, Chico.
All right. Like Slate wraps up its first season next week.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances that GSN gives it a second?
60%, actually. Again, it's part of the inexpensive, but inexpensive content that works. 60%.
Chico?
They
moved into AM programming?
They moved into the early afternoon block. They launched it in Prime Access, and then they moved into the afternoon. So I can't give it more than a 5% chance. I think it's done after this.
I'll split the middle again. I'm going to say 20%, and I'm going to agree with both of you. It is never good when you moved out of prime time to early afternoon, but it is incredibly cheap to produce, and I can see them going back to it. Maybe not now, but if they need something to fill, I can easily see that happening again.
Yeah, but you know, if Beat the Bridge and Tic Tac Toe work over the summer, it's game over for Blank Slate. Just saying.
And finally, Gordon.
All right, let's go back to interactivity, but we're going to do something a little bit different. If you remember, RuPaul's Drag Race had an April Fool joke where they were saying that everything was going to be live. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that the lip-syncing portion of the show either was live or they take two different endings of who was getting eliminated, and then they're going to air it. What are the chances, or what is the percentage of people playing and voting at home for their winner and then getting?
Ooh, okay. 100, 150% actually.
That would be a really good idea. If they could execute that would be a game changer.
Because if you read the Instagrams and the X's and the TikToks of people on Drag Race, they are the most rabid, you know, in the most best way possible, fan base. So, yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me to see that happening. So 75%.
Okay. So, you know what we have? A percentage. We're going to a speed round. You know what the percentages of that is? 100%. So we're going to finish the show right after this break here on 5 & 1. We'll be right back.
WLTI is presented by Kelsey's Famous Skyline Chili. It goes on anything from spaghetti to, well, spaghetti. It's Kelsey's Famous Skyline Chili. Just be careful that it doesn't have a prize inside.
Ah, oh, 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 oh. You all right?
If Jason Kelsey is listening, I found your Super Bowl ring. I need a medic over there.
If Kelsey is listening, Chico, take off all your clothes and show him what a sexy man you are.
I would, but my mouth's full of blood right now.
All right, fine. Let's go to a speed round. Just get some gauntlets. I'll get a speed round starting now. Survivor, after the disaster of this past tribal, who's next?
By Venus.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to say Q, but for a different reason. I think there'll be more people that decide that keeping Q around is the berry that's not worth the squeeze. I think they'll get rid of him.
Ooh, okay. That's fine.
Okay.
I know you were talking just in the last segment of how it's a great idea to keep him, but they're not going to do that.
Is the juice worth the squeeze?
There's a difference between what I think they should do and what they're going to do.
Yeah, that, my friend, is the million-dollar pyramid. Drag Race, who wins?
I'm still going with Plain Jane.
The Pure Cristal.
I'm going to go with Chico again.
Okay. Wheel of Fortune. No on the $1 million yet?
No, I mean, we're about 7 weeks left. Is that right?
Just about,
Weeks left in the Sajak era, pretty much. Oh, yeah. And by the way, the media hoe of the week is Sajak the dog. Sorry. That's my media hoe of the week. Because I don't know if you heard about this, but during this week, a woman said if she did well, her kids would get a new dog. And there was a running joke about it the whole week. It was one of the funniest things this season on the show. Yeah,
We love dogs.
Do we care about American Idol or The Voice? No.
No.
Don't think so.
Amazing Race. Who doesn't get out of Argentina? Or do we see a mega leg?
Well, we're seeing a mega leg, but again, we're seeing teams that usually, once they're stuck in the back, they stay there. Okay. So if we look at this, right, the last two teams have stayed at the back when they get eliminated. We could go three in a row here. So if that's the case, Derek and Shalisa really need to start worrying. Because, Gordon, if you notice, very few teams are catching up this year. You know what I'm talking about?
They also have a team alliance, which certainly is not going to hurt.
Right.
What also doesn't hurt is email. Do we have any?
We do not, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. We are on all social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block number 2.
And I am GSN and Hayraid.
And of course, the network is at 5&1net. That's the number 5, ANDONENET. And we talk about anything and everything that goes on network wide. For example, Jay, you and the crew were talking about what went down at Mania last week.
Yes, we were. We had, yeah, and now we're heading, yeah, and AEW is still floundering. Raw and SmackDown. Raw introduced new awesome tag team belts. If you saw them this week, they're really nice. I bet you they're going to do that on SmackDown as well this week.
So all of that is happening over at the NAWC,
and we're also going to talk about AEW and how we're also going to talk about how we're going to put somewhere in room 101. We're going to put the Oklahoma Wrestling Department on, the Wrestling Commission on there.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay. So basically saying that AEW should not have a transgender wrestler in there. Okay. Nyla Rose. Yeah. So that's just disgusting. And
you could hear my head shaking, can't you?
Yeah, I can. But anyway, Gordon, what's happening in the UBA?
Well, we're still starting down the home stretch. We've got a couple of tournaments coming up this weekend, but it is shortstop mania right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Of course. Now, Chico, you and I, a week from today, we will just be wrapping up round one of the draft coverage of NFL from Detroit, from Detroit.
Yep. By the way, Detroit is bringing black. Yeah, I got ahead of myself there. Detroit is bringing back the black unis to complement the Honolulu blue.
Okay.
So that's something to look forward to as we, you, me, VRM, Ian, Carl,
maybe,
anybody?
Maybe Jeff,
that boy?
Jess, maybe
Jess, Gordon.
Anybody, Aaron? Anybody's welcome to just watch the first round with us as we see the future stars of
the NFL
and hopefully Chicago won't make the mistakes that they did last time around when they had the number one pick.
We'll see.
Chico, it was a thing. What's going on there?
We have three new episodes this week. The first one is a live watch with as we celebrate the 112th anniversary of the day the Titanic went down with perhaps one of the worst animated movies in all of history. Titanic, The Legend Lives On.
Mm-hmm.
It was an Italian piece of crap. They tried to re-edit it for American releases, and it turned into a re-edited Italian piece of crap. We also have, and it was a thing before the show, where we talk about Mania. We talk about AEW airing the backstage footage of CM Punk. We talk about Press Your Luck, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, and the finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And then, for our actual episode, we are celebrating the 80th birthday of Robin Ward with something that has been called the perennial fake-ass sitcom game show.
It is
called Guess What? And it aired on CTV during the 80s for 5 seasons, believe it or not.
You mean it's not like Burt Ludden's Love Buffet or something like that?
No, it is an actual game show.
Burt Ludden's was an actual game show too, kinda.
Yeah, but this doesn't have like a sitcom built around it. It just looks cheap, acts cheap, and is cheap.
Okay.
So that's up on It Was a Thing on TV.com right now. Please go watch.
So anyway, what's going to happen next week?
Next week, we begin our discussion about this season of The Circle, where we talk about a bunch of players and an AI. Also, more Survivor, more Jeopardy, more Amazing Race, and
does
who
the
wins.
Toilet come out or does it come out in May?
It comes out in May. You know this.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Okay. So I just got a budget. That's all.
You got a budget and you got to, bro, just chill. We're going to get to
I know.
Toilet. We're going to get to all the right. Toilet. We're going to get to it. All right.
I know.
Okay. All
I'm
right.
Just waiting for the warm weather to stay here for good.
I know. The warm weather and hopefully the not too wet weather because, you know, it's been stormy all week.
Exactly.
But for now, we're Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. So next week, game over. And spread the love.
Good night.
program.